My Big Fat Fake Marriage by Charlotte Stein, read by Imogen Wilde. For my husband, whose kindness made my life. Chapter 1. I try to be okay with living across the hall from the seemingly nicest man to ever live. But the problem is, the nicest man to ever live makes being okay with that very, very hard. And not just because he accosts me every morning in the elevator with a, "Well, hey there, neighbour," or keeps trying to give me really elaborate pies for some unfathomable reason, or constantly wears bow ties so big and bright I half expect them to suddenly squirt water in my face. No. Mostly it's this one simple fact. Niceness this intense is always a scam. Or at least it's always been a scam in my experience. I mean, take the last decent-seeming guy I went on a date with. He did nothing but talk about himself, then insist I have a salad instead of the steak I ordered, before finally trying to strong-arm me into accepting that he pay for dinner. Then, when I didn't invite him in, he brought out an itemised list of all the great things he'd done and furiously read it aloud to me at the door. As if he'd paid for sex in advance with an offer to settle the bill, or the kind advice he'd given me on losing weight, or the fact that he'd let me choose the restaurant. So now I had to pay up. And he's not the only one I remember suffering through a date with, or having to work alongside, or accidentally ending up stuck with at a party. One nice guy brought me a can of Pringles at my sister's birthday and then tried to lock me in a random bedroom. Another felt that praising me in a meeting meant I should return the favour with a blowjob in the supply cupboard. And it made zero difference that this man had told me he was married. A lot of the time, married nice guys are even worse than single ones. They harbour secret seething hatred for their wives under a veneer of jovial sweetness and hollow laughter. Like the laughter he aimed at me the other day, when we passed each other in the hall and I asked how his wife was doing without him over there in America, and he did this big ha ha ha, like I'd told a joke, instead of asking a question he clearly didn't know how to answer. I swear, it felt like he was 3 seconds away from telling me he had abandoned her so he could be free to screw me, even though I never said I wanted to screw him. So I think it's understandable that I'm nervous. And that goes double when I step into the elevator, like always, ready for another day of creating terrible marketing copy for companies that feel like they've been made up to fill in gaps on dying social media sites, and the nicest man alive seems just a little bit different from normal. He says, "Hey there, neighbour," as the elevator doors seal us in, just like usual. But neighbour sounds different somehow. Like it's been hollowed out, and all that's left is the shell of supposed cheeriness. So I glance at him. You know, just to see if I imagined it. And there are other signs of a shift in him. Tiny details, like that enormously thick black moustache of his not being quite as neatly groomed as usual. Or that tidy hair of his kind of seeming a little bit more sideways than it typically does. Plus, I don't think he has ironed that line down the front of his trousers like always. And when I say always, I mean always. In fact, once I saw him with the same thing down both legs of a pair of jeans. But not today. Today, for some reason, he's missed it out. And missed out things are always something you should be on your guard for with suspiciously nice men. Most often it means they've moved from the pretending to be decent so you'll have an affair with them stage to their resentful that you're not immediately falling in love with them era. With a side order of being absolutely horrible to their poor wives. And anything can happen once that's the case. Doubly so, I think, when I realise something else about him. Something that wasn't clear before.